the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, thanks, and welcome to the Messiah's Prophecy, our broadcasting live hills, and we're on the Voice. Today's date, February 11th. Realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah glorious to return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound so far, heed the warning, get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, 4620-878-4682. In an emergency, the cell phone number, text me first. That's not the cell phone number. It's 316-619-4886. You can always find updates of the breaking news, all about our ministry, the mission church, everything at Prophecy Hour. Remember, folks, we're National Satellite Program and podcast, also some airtime. But thanks for listener base in places like Munich, Germany, Madrid, Spain, Guyana, and, of course, cities in the United States. This week, we're listing San Jose, California, Raleigh, New York, and Columbus, Ohio. And you are the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. By the way, folks, we ask you to send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or a text to my phone, 316-619-4886, especially if we've not mentioned your city before. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. And if we're a little garbled, I'm not sure, that must be the internet tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, of course, it's time tonight for Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host that is heard nationally and internationally on TV, and he's a radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry and Network, also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. I almost got tongue-tied. Carl's written 11 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, Magic Man in the Sky, and you folks ought to really get that book. Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, excuse me, Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah, Masquerade, and the newest that we're going to get into it tonight and talk about the summoning, and I'll bet Pastor Carl is wondering if I'm going to ask him about something else first. So, welcome, Pastor Carl. How are you? Okay. Hello? Are you there, Carl? I'm not hearing Carl. Are you there with us, Carl?
Not now.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
you're there. I couldn't hear you a minute ago. I thought I lost connection or something, but we got you now.
Okay, well, good. I'm sorry. Yeah, it has been a little bit garbled as I was listening to you earlier, so we must have some internet problems tonight. But I'm up and running. Can you still hear me?
Oh yeah, you're sounding real good right now.
Okay, good. So anyway, you just gave me a beautiful, kind introduction, and I was just saying it's always great to be with you, Dan, Pastor Dan. I love you so much, and I always look forward to these times we have together.
Yeah, amen, so do I. It's been a couple of years anyway, since that first book. That I really like that book, you called it a coffee table book, and it really is. It's something that you can lay out, and the people start to browse through it, and it'll really make them bring some questions up, I do believe.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's quite a conversation starter for sure. And I that was my first book, and I thought it would be my only book. And here I am 11 books later. I've got my 12th one coming out this fall. And but that one kind of kicked it off. And we still get all kinds of reviews on it, good reviews and orders for it, and churches that are using it for doing Bible studies and, you know, in series studies. And so, yeah, I'm just honored. All praise to Yeshua. Thank you.
Yeah. And folks, by the way, that was called The Magic Man in the Sky. And
yeah.
Only book, huh? That's really funny. That's really funny. I mean, you know, you do one and you've got another one on the way. The record, the paper, folks, if you haven't been able to get a hold of an actual hard copy of the new book you're summoning, the paper, you know, they're out now. They're shipping, Carl. I know you know that probably, though, right?
Yeah. They started several weeks ago, and they're going everywhere, and we're getting a lot of good reviews from all over. Our offices are inundated with emails from folks from around the world, and I'm grateful for that too. And I've done a lot of media. In fact I just returned last night, got in late last night, and I was up at Skywatch Television, and we did 7 episodes on this book. And so they'll all be coming out on Skywatch very soon.
I like to watch, you know, Skywatch. I really like to watch it, and you know, I like it best when you're on there, really, because you give such gravity to the conversations. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
It really is. And folks, you can watch in several different ways. I'm trying to think of that. What's that app? Let me look. In fact, I have a Roku.
Is it a like Fire or something, Amazon Fire? I don't know. They've got a bunch of apps that you can watch their show on, yeah. I can't even remember now.
The one that I'm thinking of, in fact, a lot of people now are buying these things called a Roku TV, and they have a whole bunch of apps in them.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Roku, they have an app in Roku that you can go download, and you can watch it on your TV set. And that way, you know, people can sit in, you know, in their front room or bed or wherever they
want. Yeah. Yes.
And click on it. And I really, that's how I enjoy it. That's the best way I enjoy watching Skywatch. And so I'll be looking, seeing your interviews.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the greatest compliments I think I ever got, you know, I do a lot of prophecy conference preaching. And so when I'm at these conferences, you know, there may be 1,000 or more people there. And so between sessions, I'll go stand out at my introduction table, and we've always got some of our books there and some people that are, you know, working that and helping people. I don't sell books, you know. I just like to stand there and talk to people, pray with people, minister to people. One of the nicest things I ever had was somebody came up to me, and they said, "There's Carl Gallops," and they said, "You are like family to us. We consider you a part of our family." And I was thinking, what are they talking about? And I said, well, it was a woman, and then the rest of her family joined her. And I said, "Ma'am, what do you mean?" She said, "You're in our living room every night. We watch you on Skywatch through Roku, and we watch you every night. You're in our living room every night, and here you are in person." So, oh, my gosh. You know, technology, man, technology.
It came a long way. You know, actually, how I got my, you know, after I came out of the world, one of the first places I got, hooked in with books and Bible prophecy and things like that, to the degree that I am now, is way back when I went to a seminar put on by Stan Johnson at a prophecy club.
Yeah.
And he would have somebody on radio for about and then he was in over about 200 radio stations all over the country. But he would have somebody on in a certain area, and they'd talk about their book for about a month, you know, a couple of times a week, and then he'd go have a seminar there in that state, you know, in city. And I saw him at his about his second seminar that he started, and he asked for people to help carry out books afterwards because he had one of those tables set up to sell all these different books. And so I volunteered to help him, and then I started helping him set up tables and things like that. And then before you know it, we got to know each other, and Stan started introducing me to people that wrote books. And I started doing a newsletter because I honestly thought I could do a better newsletter than Stan, which, you know, that goes without saying. And he allowed me to put it on the table. No joke, he allowed me to put it on the table. And to give out to people, and he wouldn't let anybody else give their material away, but he allowed me to do it. And so then I got to know a lot of these speakers. So when I decided to do talk radio, I had a list of people that knew me and that would be willing to come on and talk. And so that's kind of how I got started in talk radio. But I'm saying that to say I remember those seminar tables because, man, I had got in such interesting conversations with people that would come up and want to talk about the books or whatever while they were browsing them. And so, yeah, I actually miss going to those seminars and doing that because there was such a variety of people. And anyway, that's just a brief thing, you know. It made me reminisce when you said tables.
Yeah, yeah. No, I listen, as you're talking, I was reminiscing a little bit too. And you know, I'm not going to talk too much here because I know our listeners are ready to get into some meat of theology and the Bible and the world and prophecy. But I've said this before on your show, but if you were not the very first radio interview I ever did, you were one of the very top of the first because I remember crystal clear. I was in a motel room in Jasper, Alabama, and I was headed out to do a prophecy conference up there, and I had just arrived, and my wife called me or told me that when I got there that I would need to do a radio interview with you. And, of course, you didn't know me at the time other than through my book, and I didn't know you, but we hit it off. I remember we had a great interview. I called my wife back. I said, that was the nicest guy I've ever talked to. I said, I hope he calls me back. And here we are 10 years later, and you're still calling me back, brother.
Okay, I love to have you on, but, you know, our guests really, well, you're one of our guests, but I mean our audience, really enjoys you. I've got a certain amount of people that are out there, I'm sure, listening right now. It's Carl's time of the month, you know.
Thank you.
Is he coming on this week, you know? And so, amen.
Thank you. I'm humbled.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to pull something out of the book, and you can address this. And it has to do with the election, so to speak. And
okay.
Part of your book, I'm asking you this because it's something that Franklin Graham's saying, and I want to see what you got to say about it. So, you know, do you think, Carl, seriously, you think this election, and I do believe it was stolen after I seen that information. I saw this last weekend from Mike, the fellow guy, the last 15 minutes of that program. Folks, if you haven't seen it, I'll send you a link to it because I clipped it out where they show all the IP addresses and everything where the attack came from and it'll just blow you away. But do you think that was allowed because of the unrepentant sin in America? Because you pointed this out that Franklin Graham said in your book. Franklin Graham said, if we are allowed to go down this road in the path this president wants us to go down, I think it will be to our peril and to the destruction of this nation. Unless they're willing to repent for our sins, we will stand in his judgment. And I want to warn America, God is coming around. He will judge sin and it won't be pretty. We have God's blessing as a nation, but scripture is clear. God blesses countries, but God also brings bedlam. When countries turn his back on him, if we don't obey his laws, he will withdraw his hand of protection. And Graham said that about Obama, but what do you think about that? Do you think God withdrew his hand? We didn't repent enough? What do you think?
Well, listen, I know theologians would debate whether or not God actually withdrew his hand, but I'll give you my opinion in just a moment. But the point is, yes, that you just quoted did come from a quote from Franklin Graham, and it was during the election of the second term of Barack Obama. And he was begging God's people, please don't put this man back in office. And I think I'm going to speak for Franklin Graham now, and so I, if I'm wrong, I'll correct myself, but I can also speak for myself. I think Franklin Graham's heart there was similar to mine, and that is, I don't think that Barack Obama is necessarily the devil incarnate, and I surely don't think that Donald Trump is an angel from heaven. And I guess Barack Obama's main contender back then was, it was either Romney or McCain. I don't remember which one was the front runner with him, but neither one of those guys, now that we know all we know about them, would not have been that great either. but we knew where Barack Obama was taking us, and now we're seeing his former vice president in the White House just continuing his, his regime on steroids. And that's what Franklin Graham was saying. He said, if we put this man back in the White House, then we're basically thumbing our nose at God, and God's judgment follows when the church and God's people don't stand up to these major, major biblical issues like abortion and homosexuality and gay marriage, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was right. And I put that in there because that's right before somewhere in my book I compare the 12 years of Obama to the 4 years of Trump, and I compare it around the five borders of biblical borders that the Bible says you don't violate these borders. You do not violate these borders without having the judgment of God upon you. And Barack Obama broke all five of them and brought in a tidal wave of breaking them and reemphasizing them again on steroids. And then when Donald Trump went in, he basically ran on the platform of trying to reverse all five of those biblical borders. Now, he didn't call them biblical borders, but he said, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and we need to change this. And so and Donald Trump basically did reverse them, or at least really, really tried. And then, of course, he was hit with the Mueller report and impeachment and cities being captured by BLM and burning down and on and on it went. But all during that time, I show the juxtaposition between Obama flooding in the nation with this breaking of these five borders, and then Trump coming right behind him and saying to the world, we're going to try to fix these five borders. And then holy hell took place right after that. I mean, all hell came down upon Donald Trump, which was part of the prophecy that I actually spoke. I talked about this last time I was on your show. And again, I don't claim to be a prophecy. I'm a prophet, but I actually spoke some words on a major international Christian television show right after Trump won and said this was going to happen when Trump comes in, because he's standing for the Word of God and against all five of these border busting fiascos that Obama did. So Franklin Graham saw this coming too, and that's what he was saying, much more eloquently than I, but we were saying the same thing, I guess. And when I discovered that on the internet that he had said that, I included it in my book because it just kind of backed up what I was trying to warn people about.
Yeah, amen. And so it goes. And for the record, I got to say this too, and we're probably going to get more into this after break. We've got about 3 minutes, but you just quoted, that was the five harbingers that you put in the book, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that, you know, what I'm staring at right now on my screen, folks, is Carl's in my head or something, because I pulled those out and put them on my screen today, you know, about the program, because I wanted to talk about them. And we can get into more detail with them after break, but yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's exactly basically where we need to go. But there it comes back down to that. So, you know, people are wondering, you pointed out, as did I, about the great, I call it the great revealing, Carl, and I think you ought to just write a book about it. I mean, doesn't that sound so stupendous? The great revealing by Donald, or, you know, anyway, so
yeah.
Said that the great revealing. My point is all this time we've talked about evil coming forth and everything. And I what I threw into the mix of all that, I said a second term is absolutely going to depend on the repentance of this nation.
Yes.
Do you think that if we would have turned back to him better, that maybe this election might not have been stolen?
And you,
Okay,
ask me on the other side, and I'll be glad to go there.
Okay, go tell them about your website. You got about 40 seconds. Tell them where your website's at, all that jazz, and we'll go to break and come back and talk.
Okay, it's my name, carlgallups.com, CARLGALLUPS, carlgallups.com. They can find out everything there about me, Dan, Pastor Dan. They can find my church website, all my books, videos, sermons, information, articles on one page, an index page. They can find it right there. And plus, they can listen to my radio shows and go through the archives of them and everything. CarlGallops.com.
Hey, what's that Ask the Preacher about? Tell them.
Yeah, that's on Sunday mornings. It runs an hour, two 30-minute shows, and it's me and a co-host, and he plays devil's advocate, and he asks me things like, does the Bible really say this? And so I'll start answering it, then he'll interrupt and say, yeah, but what about this? And what do you say to people who say this? And we just have a good time and just ask the preacher, and I give my biblical opinions based upon 40 years of preaching, teaching, researching, and writing the Word.
Yeah, that means he's an old guy, folks. No, I'm joking. All right, folks, we'll be back. About...
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Even when her heart was aching, that you were there. Ask you, Lord, to bless my mother, praying for me.
The art of decorating eggs dates back to the spring rituals of pagan sun worship thousands of years before Christ. The spring fertility goddess Aphrodite, Eostre, or Easter, was thought to have turned a bird into a hare, thus the Easter bunny laying eggs. The most important motif or decoration pattern was the symbol of the sun, crosses, triangles, rosettes, and stars. The egg representing fertility has played many different roles throughout the ages, and has been associated with the pagan sun worship of many civilizations, including Greece and Rome, the Germanic countries, and even in Japan and China. One Egyptian account relating to the mystic egg of the Babylonians says that a very large egg fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. When the egg was hatched, out of it came the goddess Venus, or Astarte, from whom the name Easter is derived. Today, on the date known as Easter, which is celebrated at the exact time as the pagan fertility rites of antiquity, Easter egg hunts are held by traditional Christian churches around the world. Many times, religious leaders, fully aware of the abominable practices associated with Easter, fail to sound the alarm. The Bible says that they will be held accountable. It is no coincidence that the pagan practice of decorating eggs has crept into the organized church, and is now associated with the resurrection of Christ. It is part of an age-old scheme to substitute the ways of the heathen in place of the true worship of the Creator. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
And you listen to Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We'll get back with Pastor Carl in just a minute, but first this little word. In a time of social and spiritual breakdown of the American society, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world that are prepared to survive, to serve, so they can spread the gospel. The where to prepare is in safe havens around the world, such as the Ozarks, as we see the prophetic end times rapidly approaching us. We need to prepare with more intention, whether that's where you're at or where you might be led. Intentional Neighbors, or the Ark Haven Vision, is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, especially spiritually, for those prophetic and tumultuous end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA said it's one of the safest places on earth. Imagine that. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christians to own land next to each other and provide mutual aid to their neighbors. Loving our neighbors as ourselves is not just a nice saying, and the community is exploding, even with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals. If you can't afford to buy a house or some property, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789, 479-502-1789. Or simply visit arkhaven.org and email them over there. Make sure you tell them Pastor Dan sent you. And as far as the Mission Church or radio, you can donate online, mail a check or money order, or give a donation over the phone. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl, if he hasn't abandoned us yet.
I haven't abandoned you. No, sir, not yet.
I just like to hear you say that. Well, you know, that was a concept I picked up a long time ago, because when I started radio, I was getting used to the I can't see you concept. So I'd come back and I'd say, well, is the guest still there or not? I'd have an anxiety. Are you still there hanging on?
I understand. I tell people all the time that, listen, I've been doing live radio for, gosh, 20-something years, and I still, every now and then, get a little bit of anxiety, you know, standing behind the microphone and you know, and I'm on like four or five stations, radio stations down here on the Gulf Coast, but I still think I'm standing in that studio with just me and my producer, and I'm standing behind a microphone, and I'm thinking, I hope somebody's listening, because you can't see the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. I get it. Anyway, before we went to break, I asked you a question, and I told you to hold the thought, and that was basically, if we would have, if the church or the body of Messiah would have repented a little stronger, maybe, do you think that the election would have went away?
Well, brother, look, there's two ways to look at this. I'm not trying to walk the fence. I think I've got some good insight here, though, so bear with me for a moment. One way is we could look at it like Abraham standing there praying over and talking to God personally over Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord talking back, and he wasn't dealing with him, you know, making deals with Abraham, but he was... They were integrated in a conversation, and I think the Lord was touched that Abraham was so brokenhearted over the whole thing. And so Abraham was praying, if you will, even though God was standing right there in the flesh. Praying means just talking to God and listening to the Lord. And so he was, if there are 50 righteous, if there's 40, if there's, you know, if there are 10. And brokenheartedly, I mean, Abraham learned that there weren't even 10. And so he finally understood judgment had to fall. And then he said, but what about my family? And God says, I've already made arrangements. The two angels have already gone down. They're going to get them out. So there is that possibility that the Lord would have withheld his hand of what we're experiencing now. And, you know, and it may get even worse. And he may still withdraw. I mean, that's the whole thing, brother. God is actively involved in our lives. He's actively involved in the body of Christ. And that doesn't mean denominations and buildings with signs out front. And it means born again, blood bought, Jesus loving, spirit filled people, regardless of how they're congregated together. God is actively working and moving among their prayers, their ministry, their outreach. But then on the other hand, we also know from God's word, there is a day. And nobody knows that day but the Lord. When the time of the Gentiles is done and the one new man is complete, Jew and Gentile, under the blood of Jesus Christ, that day and the hour that no man knows, only the Father, when the trumpet blows and the believers that are still here will be caught up, to be with the Lord in this dimensional shift that takes place, and the Lord returns, and somewhere in the midst of all of that, God's wrath is poured out. And we've got those pictures in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And a lot of my book, The Summoning, is about all of this, because Jesus said the last days before the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah, just like the days of Lot. So the bottom line is, the Bible says judgment begins with the house of the Lord. So when we talk about if the nation had repented, I don't think that God requires the whole nation to repent and to love him and serve him and follow him nearly as much as he requires his own people to. Like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you know, if my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves, if they would repent, if they would turn from their wicked ways, then I would heal the entire land. I would forgive them. So in our case, brother, here's what I think happened, and a lot of people aren't. When Trump went in office, I can remember you begging and for me doing it. I can remember a lot of, please don't think that Donald Trump is the Savior. He needs our prayers. He needs our support. And we need to get out there and bring the church back to Michael the salt, stand in the Word unashamedly. We can't test and, you know, leave it to Beaver because, We're making America great again. Now I can go on with my wicked ways and do whatever I want. And I'm telling you, brother, in these last 4 years, even in my own church, and I've got a great church, and I've been there a long time, and I'm not thinking of individuals. I just noticed just this lackadaisical ebb and flow. You know, people would come to church. They'd amen what I was preaching. I would beg and plead and preach the word. Amen, amen, amen. But the very next Sunday, if there was a ball game they needed to go to, they left. Church didn't matter. If they needed to go on a camping trip, you know, there they went. They left. Church didn't matter. Why? Well, because Trump was in office. Everything was lovely. The economy was doing good. You got a strong fighter. So the church felt like it didn't need to fight. And I'm telling you, brother, that's what broke my heart, because I knew that if God's people didn't repent and really get on their knees and faces in prayer and get out their missions and ministry and really making a difference, I knew that God would remove Trump. I just knew. I kept telling people, it's going to revert back. It's going to revert back. And people would just kind of laugh, like, oh, preacher, come on now, come on, come on. Donald Trump's going to whoop everybody's tail. You know, I said, Donald Trump, he's just a guy like me. I mean, God's using him, but he's not the Savior. So there's that factor too, brother. I could be totally wrong. I'm being a little judgmental right now, but based upon what I saw as a pastor, and not only in my own community, but around the world, you know, I'm on TV and radio, and I travel, I do prophecy conferences, I just had this sinking feeling in my gut that the church was still not waking up, that they just still weren't. And then look, then, 2020, we turned the corner, and my book, The Summoning, is about this. And for the first time in history since the birth of the church, boom, here comes this worldwide global fear grip, this fear-demic of COVID-19. The churches all over the world shut down, some of them by orders of government. And the churches obeyed the government. Yes, we'll shut, we'll shut, we'll shut. And the first Resurrection Sunday in history, all over the globe, you could barely find a church to go to. Brother, I read before my church last Sunday morning a report from the National Institute of Health. So this is not some back-channel conspiracy site. It's a national and global health organization. And they had an article that said the number one fear that is gripping the planet right now is the fear of death. And they said it is pandemic proportions, it's epidemic, suicides are going through the roof, drug abuse is going through the roof, alcohol abuse is going through the roof, depression and the use of depression medications is going through the roof. I read 2 or 3 days ago, there's a 12-year-old boy in California that killed himself over this whole COVID-19. He didn't even have COVID-19. He was just so depressed at what was going on, and that's all people were talking about. 12 years old, brother. If he had gotten COVID, there's a 100% chance he would have survived it. But he didn't even get it. He was just petrified over this fear that's gripping the planet. That's demonic, brother. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So, I just see this judgment, this beginning with the house of the Lord, and I've got to believe that somehow we're kind of sliding that way quickly. I guess. I mean, I'm not God. I don't know his mind. I know he's moving from A to Z, okay? And it's going to wind up at Z one day, the return of the Lord. It's going to. But along the way, he works among his people, like he worked with Abraham right outside the city limits of Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, it was a whole region. It was kind of like Dallas-Fort Worth. It wasn't just one or two little teeny cities. It was huge. And right outside of that megaplex, I mean, God is dealing, if you want to say use that word, with Abraham, who's pleading and praying over the city. But it turns out that there wasn't even 10 righteous people down there in that valley. So I told you, I started this by saying there's one of two ways this could have gone, I guess. One of them is it wouldn't matter what we did. We're so close to the last days that God is moving it that way rapidly now. Like Daniel said, the end will come like a flood. Or we missed our opportunity. We'll see what happens in a few years from now when this next election cycle rolls around. We'll see what happens, and we'll be able to get a better grip on exactly, not exactly, but more generally what God is doing and where we are. So right now I'm just telling people what I've been saying for 10 years. We're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. You can see unfolding the last day's prophecies right before our eyes. And if God's people who are in God's Word claim that they can't see it, then brother, we've got some problems. But anyway, I don't know. I know it might have sounded like I was rambling. I know what I'm thinking about this, and it's just kind of it's partitioned into these two big ways all of this could have gone, and they are juxtaposed with each other. And that is, yes, if we I believe if we had really muscled up and stood up and stiffened our backbone and became the church again and with a desire and drive to reach people for Jesus Christ, I think we probably would have had another 4 years of Trump, and not that he's the Savior, but God was working through him. But I saw, and I could be wrong here, and you might even disagree with me, but what I thought I saw as I traveled this land doing all of this media and conferences was a lackadaisical attitude, by and large. And so here we are again, brother.
Yeah, amen. Let me say that I'll throw my 3 cents into this. I do absolutely agree that I think, we probably prayed more when Obama was president than when
Trump
was president. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So therefore, when Trump came, we should have jumped on the opportunity, like to change and keep to repent and change and keep these, like these harbingers, to address these and to make sure they didn't come back in repentance. But I think we just went back to the same thing, just like after 9/11. Did you notice right after 9/11, it seemed like, well, right at first week or something, you know, everybody was repenting and wanting to, seemed like they wanted to go back to the Father, you know, go back to God. And then it didn't take long, and it fell off. We're paying attention. I really don't. I know individuals are. I believe a lot of the smaller churches outside of the big cities do better than the ones inside, you know what I'm saying, that are interested in other things, whatever. But I do agree with you. I do agree with you, and that's what I want the people to know. But let's keep this in mind. We're going back into the fire. There's no way under this administration that we're not. The church is going to be deeply persecuted, I believe. But it will depend on us to do what we should do as men and women of God, to stand up and be counted, not only to be counted first on our knees, but then to stand up and to do whatever the Father ordains us to do about it, because we're in His army, and we need to act like it. Back to you.
Yep. Listen, no, I agree with you completely. I was at this hearing. I've been there almost 35 years now, so I was there during 9/11, and yes, that's exactly what I saw happen. People flooded the church. They couldn't get enough of it. They were terrified. They were scared to death. And then the war started, you know, the Iraq War in person. And after a few months of shock and awe, and boy, our troops go in and everything, brother, it was the same thing. I saw church people, not just in my church, but everywhere, kind of, well, you know, we got this trip we need to go on. Of course, we're going to go on the Lord's Day. We can't take another day. We're going to go then. And you know, and my kids got ball games to play, and so we'll be gone for a few days. We're going to miss you Sunday, preacher. I know I'm supposed to sing a solo, but I've told the choir director we've got more important things to do. And I mean, brother, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is what Moses put up with in the wilderness when he told God. He said, Lord, just kill them all. He said they're all so obstinate, you know. And God says, now Moses, calm down now, you know. But I get it. And so and you're right. Right now, you know, Biden and these executive orders, pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, pro-transgender, pro-gender confusion, pro-Iran, anti-Israel, and hold on just a minute. Hold on. I don't know what happened there, but hold on just a minute. Hold on before you say anything. Things that just popped up and started talking. Okay, now I'm turning my volume back up. Okay. Well, anyway, so now, like you said, like it was in Obama, when everybody started praying more, it's happening again. I mean, people are just piling in. We don't have room in our church. Everybody's concerned and upset and praying. But, you know, just even in the last couple of weeks, as kind of the shock of it's all over you know, people are back out there trying, you know, they're earning a living. The stock market's doing pretty good, and price of gas hadn't gone up yet, so everything's lovely. And next thing I know, where are all the people? Brother, it's happening again. So I don't know, brother. We're just in very prophetic times. We're very near the last days. And, you know, I don't set dates, so I don't even know what that means, except that I know what the Bible says would be the features of it, and that's what the summoning is about. It's the days of Noah, the days of Lot. They went on with their eating and drinking and giving in marriage and buying and selling as though nothing was going to happen. And then the end came.
Amen. We're going to see some, and really that was one part of the book that I kind of redwelled on last night, was the part that talks about the days of Noah. Amen. And the comparison with Sodom and Gomorrah and what that meant. And then what I really like is that you put in the explanations, and it was very well put, about how, about the Nephilim, you know, and the sons of God and all that, to where people could understand it. And that's a fascinating thing about your books, is because they're not only interesting, but it doesn't take a theology to understand what you're putting down. You know what I'm saying?
You
lay down work. You do it very well. I think that came as a policeman. You plead your case. You give both sides of it. In many cases, you give both sides of the story. You devote a lot to that and references. And so it makes it easily understood, and you give them some reference points other than just Pastor Carl said it. And that counts a lot. Back to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. You're very kind, and you're right. Those are the kinds of things that I try to build into my books. Number one, to make them readable. Number two, to make them understandable and enjoyable, and to immerse people in the scriptures. Number three, to be fair. Well, first of all, to be scholarly about it, and that involves fairness. In other words, I'm not just pulling this out of my back pocket. I'll tell you my biblical opinion. I'll tell you why. I'll compare scripture to scripture, and then I quote scholars, ancient scholars and modern day scholars. I do some word studies. And then in most cases, I will also show, I mean, I don't want to belabor it all, but I will also show that there are people that would disagree with where I am. And here are some examples of that. And, you know, but by the time you're finished with it, people can see that I go in a very clear direction, and they can, you know, go along that way or not. But at least at the end of it, I've made them think, I've made them dig, and hopefully they had a good time doing it. And, they can understand, well, at least Carl isn't just pulling this out of his back pocket. I mean, he didn't just make this up to sell a book. I mean, this is right here in the Word of God. Now I got to figure out exactly what I believe about it. And so that's what I try to do, brother. So thank you for your kind words, because you basically verified that what I've been trying to do is must be coming across.
Well, it is. You know, it is. In fact, interesting thing about your publishers, you know, which I love those guys over there.
Me too.
Skywatch. They and they send me their books too, but they always send me two copies of the book. And now I always passionately keep one. You know what I'm saying? I have books all around me. They're reference points for me. But the point is that second book. See, I loan it out or give it to somebody else to see what they have to say. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know personally. And then if they give it back, then I pass it to somebody else, and then, you know, I give them away, whatever. But the point is that I hear feedback from other people other than just my own opinion. Well, that was a really good. So I think, well, was that bias just because I like Carl? You know what I mean? And, you know, I know more than the normal layman does or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So what do other people think about it? And I get really, really good reviews off of your books. You know, they like them. They're ready to read them and say, oh, you got another one. And so they pick them up and read them. And then it gives me somebody else to bounce things off of. But yeah, your books are easily understood, and they're great reference points. One thing about that you did, you got a big appendix in this book. That you even lay out some things about survival and other things in it. Back to you.
Yeah, after you finish the main thrust of the book, I've got a addendum section of
another 10 chapters, and there are 4 or 5 pages for each chapter, so I don't want people to freak out thinking there's another 300 pages in the end. but it's just 40 or 50 pages, not even 50 pages. But I basically pull a lot from my book, Be Thou Prepared, and I help people understand the process of physical preparation, and I answer the biblical questions people have, like, well, what about faith? What about Jesus saying, take no thought of tomorrow about food and drink and what you'll wear? You know, God will provide for everything. What about the martyrs? You know, what about turn the other cheek? Should we carry a gun? Should we have guns? Should Christians arm themselves? And what about obeying the government? You know, the Bible says we got to obey the government. And I answer all of these things in a biblical framework, and both dealing with all the different sides. And then I tell people how to prepare food and shelter and clothing and water and everything. And then I even list pages and pages of scripture right there. So, I mean, hopefully you'll go to your Bible, but let's say you don't have one with you. You could, right there in that book, you can go to the back and read scriptures of encouragement and comfort and peace and strength that would strengthen you spiritually during these times. So, yeah, it's kind of a 3-in-1 book, brother, and people are really enjoying that part of it. Thank you for asking me about it.
Yeah, a lot of people need that to place scripture in it because, you know, we might, and people that we know may have, you know, I mean, I've got a Bible everywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? There's one in my truck. There's one in my car. There's one, you know, here. There's one there. There's Bibles everywhere.
Yeah. I got 2 or 3 on my cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, amen, and there's that, too. But a lot of people just don't. And then if they do, they're at a loss as to where to look up some of those encouraging ones, you know what I'm saying, because they just don't know their Bible as well as others. And so, and that's not a down, because, you know, some people aren't great readers and different things. And, hey, isn't that why, you know, he ordained preachers and all the rest of it, is so that we could teach the body of Messiah. And it's a great responsibility. Anyway. Well, Carl, just about come to the end of things. Anything that you want to finally say? You got about a minute.
Oh, well, listen. Yeah, I just want to encourage God's people. Look, I know people say, well, which way is it going to go? What's going on? What happened? And I just say, listen, God's got this. He has not slapped his forehead and said, boy, I didn't see this coming. But the deal is, I tell Christians, look, but don't sit back and be lackadaisical anymore. I mean, Christians have to buck up. We've got to decide to be the salt and the light and to be fearless about it. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ, kind of like Esther. She finally had to say, look, okay, I will go before the king, and he may kill me, but I will go, and I will speak the truth of God's word. And, you know, I've been raised up for such a time as this. And that's the truth where we are now. And nothing ever remains the same. God's working. He's moving forward. We need to move forward with him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You are his ambassador. You've been raised up for such a time as this. That would be my message of encouragement for God's people. Just get up tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. Mow the grass, pay the bills, educate the children, save for the future, but be busy about the Lord's work and make sure your life is biblically in the hands of Jesus. Make sure you are biblically born again.
Yeah, amen. Great words, Carl. Well, Pat, you find him at PastorCarlGallops.com, and we'll see you next time, Carl.
Y'all thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. You can find the link at the web, at wherever you're listening to this, at a podcast later. Hopefully you're also listening live. But remember, folks, there is one thing you need to know. There is only one true God. He is your Father. That's right. Yeshua said, call him Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. You get that? Our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing, goers. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you'd please be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.